Good morning, everybody. So we'll get started this morning. We dug all through Dearborn Heights and everything, all down Telegraph and through there to find this guy. But we found him. His boss, I guess, finally gave him a day off. Even Eddie's not working today. What is this, a holiday? I don't know.
My boss is on vacation.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a pleasure to have everybody here this morning. I think there's extra over there if you want seconds, and we're going to get started. If you remember, we've been talking about false things that come into the church and into your lives and our lives that can really, really harm us and stop us from doing the will of God. And this morning, Fred is going to be talking about false gods, right, Fred?
Yes, sir.
Fred is going to be talking about false gods, right? And there's plenty of those out there, right? One real, a million imitations. And Fred is going to explain that to us this morning. So if everybody is ready, we will get going. Make sure and be here next week. We have a new guest speaker sitting there in the back, Ken Whitick. He's all set. He wanted to teach today, but I told him, hold, relax, brother. Take another week. He's just ready. So make sure and be here next week. Ken is going to speak about false churches, right? All right. And then after that, we have, for the month of August, we have Donovan here for 4 weeks. He's doing a series. All right? So we're set for a while, and we'll get started. Fred's getting him a little water. He's getting a little thirsty. Fred, who would you like to open up? Yours, sir.
All right. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we just come before you this morning, Lord, with gracious hearts, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just lift up Fred to you right now, Lord God. Father, we just pray that he would be just endowed in your spirit, Lord God, that every word he utters to us today, Father, would be of you, Lord God, that it would minister to our hearts and our souls and our minds, Lord God. And Father, I pray that we just take this word here and in the sanctuary today, Father, and we would just live it, Lord God. We wouldn't just hear it, we would live it, Lord God. We would apply it to our lives, apply it to others, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
All yours,
anybody,
Fred.
Can you hear me fine? Am I on? All right. When Bob first asked me to teach.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Just 1 minute, Fred.
Got to move it up.
Oh, your collar was blocking it. His collar.
Oh, okay.
Cupped over it.
All right. How's that? All right. Like I was saying, when Bob first asked me to teach, he actually gave me a choice this time. Usually he don't give me a choice. But it was false gods, or I think it was false teachers or teachings. And when I looked at false gods, the first thing I thought of was, you know, the idol Baal. You know, that just came to my mind. So I did some reading on that, and so I think I want to touch on that a little bit, and because that was, back in the Old Testament, that was a predominant god, a false god in that time. And it actually moved into to Israel. And they started setting up these idols to Baal, and there's other idols they set up too. I mean, some of them I can't even pronounce the names, but, you know, God said these are, idols made by men are nothing at all, you know. So, but I'd like to start with First Kings 17:1. It says, now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe, yeah, I like it when their last name is kind of where they're from, you know. So, but
so what they call you,
Fred from Southwest, you know.
What was that,
First Kings 17:1. All right, it says, now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe, Gilead, what is that?
Gilead, sorry.
Said to Ahab, as the Lord the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain for 3 years, except by my word. Now, when Elijah saying by my word, he's really meaning by God's word, because he's a messenger of God. And what I like about that scripture is, he's proclaiming that God lives. You know, you're serving these gods that do not live. And I like it because he's like the God I serve, you know, because Ahab's not serving that God. You know, he's just proclaiming that, you know, I'm a messenger from the God I serve. I think we need to be bold like that, you know, especially nowadays. You know, sometimes people want to shame you to not even speaking the word of God. And we have to, we are children of the Most High. And there was a reason why, God sent Elijah to tell him that there would be no rain. You know, because the God he served, maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself, because Ahab, he's one of them kings that did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They bounce back and forth. But to him, it says he done more evil in the eyes of the Lord than anybody before him. You know, which is, that is a, putting you on a high pedestal there. And so he introduced Baal, pretty much rejected God altogether. Married Jezebel, the king, her father was king of another region, which that was their god, Baal. So she introduced him to it, or whatever happened there. They brought that into Israel. So, and rejected God altogether, and even started killing the people of God, even the prophets of the Lord. They would hunt them down and kill them. They wanted to exterminate God from the land, basically, and then set up their God. I did a little research on Baal. Kind of gave me a headache reading about these false gods and idols. But it says, Baal was believed to be a storm god. He was the god of sky, rain, thunder, and lightning. The farmers looked to Baal to give them a successful crop. They felt that he controlled the weather. I mean, it's, back then, the weather was like everything. You know, if you had drought, then, people starved. You couldn't go down the, the street to Oakwood Foods over there. But, it's what they grew is, how they survived. So the weather was a good part. And, God made the land of milk and honey. And they brought this guy in and taking all God's glory. You might as well say. So, it is, it's God coming and proclaiming, you pray to your God all you want, but my word reigns supreme. Telling you it's not going to rain for 3 years, it's not going to rain for 3 years. So what a day, you would think that this guy, Ahab, would repent. Like, wow, it ain't raining. Even within a year into it, wow. No, he actually wanted to kill Elijah after that. That's how prideful he was. It just kind of, because I've read that scripture a bunch of times, just reading through the story, not really understanding why he didn't let it rain, why the Lord didn't let it rain, until you read what this God represented, then it opens up your eyes to like, wow, that's why, to show them people that this, he don't have no authority, he's false. I'm the one who lives the true God, So it just went right to the heart of what they thought he was, And as, it kind of reminds me of when you first come to God, your eyes are open and all the stuff you thought was true and important are nothing at all. God is, the way, the truth, and the light. You know, so it kind of takes you a while to kind of lay some things down, but ultimately, if you seek the Lord, you will lay them down. You know, so. But it's, if you seek the Lord, it's the main thing, the main key. You can't just sit in bed like, "Oh Lord, help me, please take this away." Oh, you know, you gotta do some things. You know, I mean, what do they say? Faith without works is dead. It's like work without faith is dead. So, but it says, so after that, Elijah, after he pretty much pronounced it to the king's face, like I said, the king wanted to kill him. So the Lord told him to, you know, go. I don't know if anybody here knows the story of Elijah. I would hope everybody here knows it, but, you know, he sends him to the brook. You know, you're going to be fed by ravens. You know, and then he tells him to, in 1 Kings 17, 8 through 9, the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath. It's a city. Yeah. Go to Zarephath in the region of Sidon. I hope I'm saying these right. And stay there. I have instructed a widow there to supply you with food. So I read that scripture because Zarephath is a city. You know, said I wrote down, God instructed Elijah to go to Zarephath, a city in Sidon, not far from where Jezebel used to live. In other words, God had Elijah. God had Elijah hide out in the heart of Bel country. There's where no one would have been more eager to capture and kill Elijah than Jezebel's father, king of Sidon. I mean, instead of, you know, God saying, "All right, go hide out in the hills of Israel," you know, and not, you know, be comfortable, you know, not knowing nobody's going to. He sends him into enemy territory. You know why? Because God is all powerful. You know, just to show again that this God is nothing. You know, the people that follow him, they can't, you know, if God's on your side, they're not going to even know who you are, or, you know, blinders on or whatever. But, you know, I wrote, just as Elijah was in the heart of Bel country, we too are in the heart of Bel country. It goes by a different name. It's called secularism. So if you don't know what a secular world is, secularism is a belief that religion or God, you know, this is out of the Webster Dictionary, so this that religion should play no role in government, education, or other public parts of society. I mean, that sounds awful a lot like what King Ahab was trying to do. Push God out of everything and install their idols. So, I mean, you start reading, there's a lot more that I read I should have put down, but I didn't, but I put down what the Lord wanted me to put down, hopefully.
Fred, if you back up even one more step, the reason this is happening is because it's going against God's word. Yes. God told, especially kings, but everyone, there were certain women not to intermarry with. And the reason was, he gave, because they will bring foreign gods in, mm-hmm. and they will try and replace me. And that's exactly what happened, and that's why God is judging them.
Yes, because if...
Hey, Bob said, backing up a little bit, talking about Elijah hiding in the land of the enemy, you know, it makes me think of David. mean, Saul was constantly trying to get him, and just wasn't his time, brother. Just wasn't his time. And he took refuge in the land of the Philistines, mm-hmm. their very enemy, you know. Yeah. And yet God protected him, you know, so.
Because if you look, like Bob was saying, they was instructed not to take foreign wives. You know, it wasn't because they was prejudiced or anything like that. It's God knew that they would introduce the foreign gods. You know, because if you ever, and I didn't really write none of this down, but if you ever read about the worshiping practice of these gods, you know, it's nothing spiritual. It's all fleshly stuff, you know, with sexual stuff going on. And so in a flesh way, it's, I guess it would be appealing to people to follow that God. It's not hard, I guess you would say, you know, but there's nothing to it. That's why it's not hard. You know, God picks us because he knows we are chosen to do these things, you know. I mean, if we, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we are, if you ever look at an idol, at that I'm reading, it's, they make them to, I guess, how did I say it, to bend to the will of what they want, the people that make them. And, you know, so that the people choose, you know, I guess they choose how to interact with God. You know, we were chosen. You know, we were chosen for a purpose. You know, we didn't choose God, he chose us. You know, you could come in and say, well, I was come to church, but no, something led you to church. And that's the Holy Spirit. So that's a big difference between having an idol and following the one true God. You know, God instructs you what to do. You don't go before, you know, him. I mean, you should. You know, I put it back when I was looking for a car a while back ago. You know, I made up my mind I was going to go get this car, you know. So I'm in the lot. So then I started praying, Lord, let me pick out the right car. I was saying, then I was walking. I said, dang, I think I did that like late. You know, I should have been like, Lord, should I be getting this car? Or should I be, you know, I mean, so that's kind of like, you know, I didn't ask you nothing, not even ask your advice, but help me get the best car out here, you know. I mean, so that's, you know, but it's live and learn. At least he, you know, while he brought it back to my attention, like, you know, it's more like, really? You know, it's like, you're asking me now, you know. But, you know, I did get a good car, and, you know, because the Lord is faithful when you're humble and understand that you didn't do it right, you know. The second car I did, you know, prayed the whole time, and then it's like, well, that car is a lot of money. I don't want that car. I didn't even want it. But it kept on coming back. So I know, all right, Lord, you know. My wife liked it. And she said, yeah, yeah, the Lord's with us. Yeah. You know, we do live in a secular society. And they do, you know, they have pushed God out of everything. You know, and they're just, you know, and they ain't done yet. They still want to. Their view is, you know, you're in here, it's fine. And they're starting to come into the church, too, now. You know, they want to regulate you, what you're saying at the pulpit. You know, so it started where you could do what you want in church, but don't bring it outside. Now, that ain't good enough for them. They want to come inside the church now and start regulating you. You know, I like, you know, they always want to talk about they'll take away your exempt status or, you know, threaten you with money. You know, actually, I was listening to Donald Trump, he wants to take away that. Where they can't threaten you with that no more. So I mean, you know, I don't know why I get sued for this. but anyways, but moving on. But this, you know, society, they take away, they push God out of everything, you know, and the Bible says, when you take away, take God out of it, something else is going to fill. If you talk to Pastor Don, he'll tell you that. Something else is going to come and fill that gap, you know. And they stick something in there for you, you know. As long as it ain't Christianity, they don't care what fills that gap, tell you the truth, it seems like. And, you know, but so these are idols. I mean, you know, they took, the way I look at it, they took away the visual idols where you can see and touch, and it's, you know, it's more of a spiritual thing. You know, do we, it's like a pyramid. What's at the top of your pyramid? Is it money? You know, is it yourself? Is it your kids? Is it, you know, then diamond ring? No. Yeah, new car. Is it that new car? Got to shine up that new car, you know, keep it shiny. No offense, but these things, an idol is anything that you put before the Lord. You know, I mean, pride leads to, you know, to that. You know, you're prideful, then you're number one. You know, you're not, you don't care too much about nothing else, as long as you're taken care of with him. All right. And so we got to, I think money is the number one tool that could be, you know, be used as an idol because by the enemy. Because you got to think, the enemy's, you know, Paul says it's all spiritual. You know, so these things, we're too smart to be following some idol that we can see. Even though there's still, you know, you got Buddha and enlightenment. Actually, I was watching the documentary on Steve Jobs. And he got diagnosed with cancer. I think it was pancreas cancer or liver cancer or something. But he's actually talked to the doctor that diagnosed him. And he said, when I first diagnosed him, there was a good chance that he could have beat this cancer. But he went, because he was into all that mystic stuff and like, yeah, what was it? Like, yeah. So he went that way and followed after false God, you know. Well, he come back, I don't know how long later, well, now it's too late. If they would have caught it right there, but he went and followed off after this false God, and it actually cost him his life. You know, they end up giving him a liver transplant or something, but it was too late. And the doctor himself said he could have beat this if he'd have done it right away. See, now our God, you know, every good thing comes from the Lord. You know, so if doctors, you know, if you can beat it through modern medicine, then, you know, that's what you do. And that's a false teaching. I ain't going to go into that, you know, that it's a lack of faith if you do that. You know, it's that faith movement. You know, and you hear these words, and they make Christianity look foolish. They don't take medicine because it's against their religion. You know, they stand on one scripture, you know, but they forget all the rest.
I think one of his issues was, or his main issue was really pride. You're right. Here's a guy that said, look, all that I've built. I'm stronger than cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I can go do it the way I want, right? I will win in the end because I've always won before. The only one that wins in the end is God.
Mm-hmm. Again, we can look at this because it's actually two different opinions. You know, it's God. You know, it's are we right or are they right? Well, we know we're right. And look at this. The more you push God out, look at all this stuff that's happening in the school. You know, now they got metal detectors and, you know, there's everything. So, you can argue the point. I mean, where are we going to turn? If there's nothing, you know, you untook out the things to turn to. You know, how are you going to tell somebody it's right or wrong when you told them that you come from a monkey? You know, what's the purpose of life? you know, to get rich? Well, when you're poor, you know, that seems like an unreachable task, you know. So it's lost, you know. I used to think that when I was younger, growing up in Southwest, I wonder what I got. It wasn't looking around me. You know, it's not until I turned to the Lord that I really seen that, hey, I got a purpose here. The Lord had a purpose for me, you know. Even all the wrong I done, the Lord still got a purpose. Why? Because he chose me. I'm here. You know, when you think that, I don't know why the Lord chose you, well, are you saying the Lord's foolish? You saying the Lord don't know what he's doing? Oh, the Lord knows exactly what he's doing. He sees something in you. And he knows that you, with his, of course, and do nothing without the Lord, he's going to lift you up. He's going to show. I love when I see people I used to see. You know, I'm sorry. It's a little pride in me, Bob. You know, but when I see people I used to see, you know, they're like, oh, wow, you changed. You know, what was that? So I let them talk, and so I said, yeah, well, serving the Lord now. You know, more happier than I've ever been in my whole life. You know, of course, reject everything I say, but their life is a disaster. And I hate to say it like that. You know, the same doing the same stuff for, hey, man. 20 years, 30 years, you know. I mean, hey, brother, with enough, enough. You got it. You know, so, but it said, it's actually two different opinions. Which one are you going to follow? You know, you have to choose. I mean, the Lord brings it back to Solomon. He, because he's the one that first started introducing all this stuff. He started marrying all these foreign women. Well, first he, you know, seems like, and I might be wrong, but he built these idols for them, you know, maybe to please them in some way, you know, homesick, whatever. Well, as time went on, he started participating. And that's how the devil does it. It's a little bit. It's all right. You know, well, next thing you know, more and more. You know, so he, but the Lord said, you know, his judgment came upon Solomon. And the Lord tells him, because you have not seeked me with all your heart, you know, because you don't seek me all the way. Seems like Solomon, and I could be wrong on this, seems like Solomon was playing both sides. Probably was serving the Lord, but then going over here and serving this guy too. I mean, a lot of us do that, you know. Serve the Lord, but this thing I'm still doing, you know. Lord understands. So, I mean, so we got to actually, are we on the fence? Are we seeking God? Are we, is he desire of our heart? You know, because that's what he wants to be. There's a song by, Jake Hamilton? I was listening to. What I desire, I become. So it's you I desire, Lord. You guys don't know that song? Am I singing it good enough? But it's kind of hard, brother. What I desire, I become. So it's you I desire, Lord. Yeah, that's more like, you know, but it's true, you know. What our hearts desire, that's what we're going to go to. So that's why the Lord got to be the desire of our heart. You know, it's easy for money to come in because, you know, we want to support our families. You know, we want, you know, good things, you know, for our family, for stuff, and, you know, and we think it's, you know, oh, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me with a Sunday, Bob. Yeah, I ain't in there praising him, but he blessed me that Sunday. I was at work that first Sunday. And I'm like, looking around and just come to me, what are you doing here? You know, remind me of Elijah when he ran away. He's asking the Lord all this stuff, and the Lord showed him all his power. Then when the Lord spoke, he just asked him one thing. What are you doing here? I got things for you to do, and it's not here. You know, so I'm just like, okay. You know, but So I worked until the next weekend. I said, no, I couldn't work. Right? I said, I couldn't work on Sunday, so I got off of that one. But dang, didn't he? And at the time, I said, you say this is the devil. But didn't the man come up to me and said, come on in on Sunday from 10 to 2 o'clock. And I'll pay you for 8. That's 4 hours for 8, double time. So I'm like, all right. Yeah, so he got me, and it wasn't, and I wasn't doing nothing. I was like, yeah, sleeping on me. But still, I mean, is that where I should be? And actually, I don't think. I mean, once in a while, of course, we got to, you know, I ain't putting nobody down or nothing. But, hey, you want me to work this Sunday? I don't know. Bro, I can't work this Sunday. I can't call Bob and tell him, hey, Bob, on a Saturday, I ain't going to make it. I'm sure Bob, because he likes me paying into Social Security. You know, I got to teach you this for that, Fred. Don't worry about it. But still, so it's so easy to put money first, you know, and I think, and, you know, do we desire the things of this world more than we desire, you know, because, hey, Jesus says the devil's the prince of this world.
You know, that's not a modern thing or a new thing either.
Yes.
When you read the New Testament, Jesus spoke more on money matters than anything, because like you say, that seems to be the number one thing that people use to replace them with, even then, and it's still true now.
Yep. So it's, we live in this world, not for this world, I guess is the scripture that comes to mind. You know, we got to have the things of this world because we live in it. You know, God don't want us to be, you know, without nothing, live like some hermit, you know, but where's our desires lie, I guess. We always got to, I always like to try to check myself occasionally and make sure I'm still doing what I'm doing the right, you know, the right way, of course. Nobody's perfect, so I'll let you know that I ain't perfect. But still, we got to check our hearts from time to time. Where does our desires lie? But it says, so I wrote this. Again, this is the last scripture pertaining to Elijah. But it says, we have two opinions, you know, or two options, rather. You know, and the same thing with the people of Israel. You know, they had the two options, either Baal or the Lord. So this is actually Elijah right before, when he was on Mount Carmel, when he wanted to, when he set up the altar and said, you know, let the gods contest. You know, if Baal, get all your prophets. I like him because they brought 450 prophets of Baal. You know, and Elijah standing there by himself. So you can see like 450 people. You know, that would be intimidating. You know, but God, you know, in the spiritual, how much is standing behind Elijah? It was him that looked out and seen all the angels, right? Before that was Elijah. So, yeah, so in the spiritual, we got angel armies behind us too, you know. So don't think we're alone in our fight. The only time you're alone is when you're not seeking God. Oh, my wife got something. Oh yeah, I got 10 minutes, 5 minutes.
You know, the Lord laid on my heart to do this half marathon that I'm practicing training for right now, and at first, I didn't really want to do it because I didn't think I could do it, to be honest with you. I just felt like, no, I can't do this. But he just kept laying it on my heart. So I registered, and the training started. Then I had to get surgery, and then I had to start again. So 2 weeks ago, I started. So I did 7 miles, and it was a breeze, kind of. It was a tiny, kind of like it was a little challenging, but not that much. But yesterday was another. So it was 7 miles. I had to do walking, but I had to do some jog in it to up my speed. But I literally, so God would put people on my side to help me to push forward. And then at one time, they left me. And I had to go up this mountain, and I started crying. I actually was just like, I can't do this. Like, this is too much. although I was praying through the whole thing, I could feel times where God would, you know, take a hold of me and give me the strength to go forward. But I felt a lot of where he let go of me. And I had to believe again and trust. It was, I don't know how to explain it, but it was very, very spiritual what was happening. But when I started to cry and ask him, you know, I can't do this and I can't feel you right now. He literally showed me himself climbing, you know, going up the hill when he had to carry his cross. I could not believe that he showed me that. But my tears stopped. I was like, you know, I couldn't believe. I felt so, like, I don't know how to explain it. I guess I felt like, why am I complaining or why am I in so much pain when here you overtook pain, you know? So I got this push and I kept going. But I honestly believe it was a very big spiritual battle that was going on. I even felt it afterward, and it didn't lift till this morning. This morning I woke up with so much joy, so much grace, so much of his forgiveness, because we honestly believe all the time that, you know, we are so full of sin. But God is so graceful. What he's showing me is, yeah, Esther, you do have that junk on you, because I do. I can nitpick myself so badly. But God wants us to know that he loves us. And no, you know, I'm not going to say go and do whatever you want and sin. No, but he is helping us to overcome those areas that are very, very challenging and strong strongholds. He is doing something. He is tearing them off of our church, of our people who seek after him with all their heart, mind, and soul. He is doing a breakthrough. I know he is, right, even right this second, and has been doing for a long time. Praise God.
All right, babe. I had to move along. It's so this is Kings 17:21, I think. Yes. No, Kings 18:21. Sorry. So this is when Elijah is up on Mount Carmel right before this contest begins. So he's addressing the people of Israel. And he says, Elijah went before the people of Israel and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And this is what gets me. The people said nothing. You know, these people didn't even say nothing. They waiting for to see who won this contest? I mean, that's what it seems like. Because after that, you know, after God, you know, the prophets of Baal, you know, chanted all day, cut themselves, and did all kinds of stuff. You know, Elijah steps up, throws more water on the fire, on the altar, drenches it, and praise the Lord, comes down, burns up the altar. Well, then they seize these 450, that's what I like about it. They seize the 450 prophets of Baal, and they put them to death. Well, who helped? The people. So now they see this power of God. That's why they believe. Well, Jesus says, blessed is the man who has not seen and believes. You know? And we, you know, of course, I seen some stuff. I felt the Lord in my heart. You know, that's what got me. You know? The Lord actually, you know, blessed me with the Spirit. You know? So, no turning back now, yeah? You get that for your head, you'd be all right. You know, but, you know, so we, I don't know, I guess we're always looking for God to show us something, you know, or, you know, for us, so I can believe more in you. You know, but like you said, blessed is the man who has not seen but still yet believes. That's faith. You know, and we live by faith, not by sight. You know, and we got to know God's word is not made up, written by man. You know, God used men to write it, you know, but, you know, spiritually driven. This is true. You know, you can't doubt none of it. You know, you can't doubt that there was a Noah's Ark. Yeah, does it seem almost impossible? that, you know, Noah brought all these animals on the ark and everything. And what is impossible to man is possible with the Lord. You know, they just built that ark down there. I like to go see it. It's down in Kentucky or something, ain't it? And so, yeah, they said that thing is massive. You know, we have to believe in his word. First, we have to believe in him and his word. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light, the living word. But it says, I just wrote out, close with these couple of scriptures. It says, my people who are called by my name, because we are called, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their lands. And that was 2 Chronicles 7:14. And this is John 6:44. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last days. All right, it says, your ancestor possessed nothing. This is Jeremiah, and I'll close with this one. Your ancestors possess nothing but false gods, worthless idols that did them no good. Man, in my life, that one sentence does it. I was never in a godly family, you know, and I seen them, you know, when I was a kid, chase after all this stuff, and it never did them no good, you know, Now people make their own gods. Do people make their own gods? Yes, but they are not gods. Therefore, I will teach them. I will teach them. This time, I will teach them my power and might. Then they will know that my name is the Lord. If we let God, by seeking him and his word, being obedient, that's another big word, you know, being obedient, we will, he will teach us, he will guide us, and that's it.
Amen. Give him a hand. Who would you like to close, Fred?
Alma sitting there.
Alma,
she
okay.
She looks like she's ready to do something.
Don't forget, we have prayer downstairs right after this for anybody that wants to join us.
Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for Fred, Lord, and preparing the lesson, Lord. And I just stuck with that word, that last word he said. Lord, may we be more obedient to your word, Lord, and to what you would have us do, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day. Bless us as we go down to worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.